And you have your Bibles, turn with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. You concerned about the things that's happening in our world? You concerned about it? Does it bother you to see our world going in a different direction? Does it bother you? You think it's going in the right direction? Let me read about some things about the direction. Children in elementary school are being told they can't read their Bible during free reading period. Does that bother you? High school students are warned in districts across the country not to include references to God in their graduation speeches. Does that bother you? A 7-year-old boy in California receives a visit at home from a police officer. His crime? Sharing Bible verses during lunchtime and after school. Does that bother you? What are we going to do? We can always pray. And then we need to put legs to our prayers. We need to do something. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this very moment. Thank you for this very hour. Thank you for each and every one who are in attendance today. And Lord, I pray that you'll prepare their hearts to receive your message. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Religion. Religion versus Jesus. Hating religion, loving Jesus. Sooner or later, if you haven't already, you filled out forms that has a little block that you put an X in, or you can have, you know, there's a blank there to fill in the space. Religion. They want to know, what religion do you belong to? Religious affiliation. Space, what is your religious affiliation? Well, many years back, it was usually Catholic or Protestant. That's changed immensely today because of all the immigrants coming in. And now we have Hindus and Buddhists and you name it, we have it. We got it. So if you're not Catholic, you're Protestant. Protestant just simply means that you're not Catholic. What's Protestant? Well, Protestant is Methodists, Lutherans, Episcopalians, Baptists, you name it. I mean, there are so many religions and names that probably as many as there is aspirin. There's all kinds of flavors and denominations. And if you're not Catholic, you're Protestant. And then under Protestant, you can define it even a bit further. We're independent. Among the Protestants, the mainline denominations, we're independent. And so where you'd place that, you would put Protestant / independent. In the wedding forms that I fill out, there's a place that says minister, clergy, who's solemnizing the oath. And I underline minister. And it wants to know denomination. I write in independent, because that's what we are. We're independent. Actually, we're independent Methodists. That's what, if you really want to define it, there's some Methodists in here, so we're some independent Methodists, but we're basically independent. Religion. And I'm going to take some things that Joyce said this morning. You know, sometimes we just need to have our attitudes changed because our attitudes, I think, are many times shaped by the things we hear. We see on TV, we hear it on the radio, we hear it watching on TV, and we become agnostic to these religions because we see the things that the different religions are doing that are coming into the United States. And they're changing our culture. They're changing our culture, and because of all these different religions coming to the United States, it's why there's going to be more persecution on Christians. In case you haven't seen that, that's why that is. Because we don't want to mention God. We might upset the Hindus or the Buddhists, So don't mention God. We want to erase the name of God, and especially the name that really offends people is what name? Jesus. That's the name we really got to watch. Because when you mention Jesus, that's for Christians, you see. We identify with that name as Christians. And it's interesting that Jesus would say in the last time prophecies, if things are going to get difficult, it's going to get difficult because of my name. Many will be offended by my name. Many will be persecuted because of my name. But you know, the Buddhists need to be saved. They need to know Jesus. The Muslims need to have a revelation of Jesus. They need to be saved. The Jews need to have a revelation of Jesus because they need to be saved. We think Jews, well, they're all saved. No, they're not. No, they're not. They're religious, but they're not Christian. We need to pray for the Jews so they can be saved. We need to pray for all those in the world that they need to be saved. They need to know Jesus. And you know, we have some Christians that also probably need to pray for that they need to know Jesus too. Really, Roger, you might be surprised how many people are trusting in religion. Well, I go to church every Sunday, Brother Roger. Every chance I get, I go to church. When they pass the offering plate, I put money in it. I do a lot of good things, Roger. But are you trusting in Jesus? Are you trusting Him and Him alone? We had the Sunday school lesson this morning about the altar, what had to be built with just regular stones, not touched by human tools. You see, as soon as a human touches it, it pollutes it. That's what the scripture says. It would be polluted. Oh, I think of how many things and times we've polluted things, huh? Have you polluted anything with your touch? I can tell you, if you haven't, let me touch it. If you think you're making money in your stocks, let me put some in alongside of it. Three things that work against us in our walk with the Lord: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And you know what? Religion is in all three of those. Now, when I'm talking about religion, I'm talking about religiosity. Religiosity, I guess, is a little hard to say. Man's traditions versus God's truths. You know that a lot of rules and regulations have been adapted by man. I can remember I've done some painting in a lawyer's office so many years back. Oh, it's probably been at least 25 years ago. I was doing some painting in a local lawyer's office. And I was painting the area where when you came in to get work, that, you know, I was just painting that particular area, the office area. And he was working late that night, and I was finishing up and getting ready to go home. And he was back in his office, and there was a little bit bigger part of the office, and there was just walls and walls of books, legal books, the law. Just bookcases full. I said, "What's this?" Roger, he says, this is the law. Really? Listen, I almost said his name. You know, here in the Bible, we have just 10 commandments. Just 10. That's it. 10 commandments. We put them on one page. Just one page. You got all that on there for the 10 commandments. Let's see what happens when man's involved. You see what I'm talking about? Isn't it sad? You see, this is what Jesus came up against when he came up against religious leaders. Much like the books that were in the lawyer's office was much like the religious leaders of the day. They had more don'ts than they had do's. You're going to dare do anything. Well, what can we do? I remember one of our youth leaders in church had a list of things Christians don't do. And you know me. Well, I said, I see the list of things we can't do. I didn't see anything that we could do. Is there really anything we can do? You know me. I wasn't very popular with that. It's amazing how many things you can do when you got Jesus living in your heart. I can tell you, when Jesus is living there instead of religion, you're more free to do more things than you have any idea. That's what Paul said. I'm free to do them, but I don't. Now, you're going to catch what I'm saying. Paul said, yes, I am free to do that, but I don't always do that because I don't want to offend my brother. Jesus loves him, and so should I. See, that makes a difference. That's what makes a difference. You may be free to do a lot of things, but make sure that your freedom doesn't hurt your brother. Don't offend him. He's still struggling with that area in his life, so don't you eat and drink those kinds of things in front of him when you know he's struggling with that. Don't do that. That's not loving. That's just being selfish. That's not loving. Flesh and the devil. Whew. Satan loves religion. You know, there was many times when Jesus was confronted by unclean spirits. You know what they would cry out and say? Thou, Jesus, thou art the Son of God. You know what Jesus said? Be quiet. Come out of him and be quiet. Don't say a word. Yes, his name would be proclaimed someday, but certainly not by demons. He'd say, hold your speech, hold your mouth. He would forbid them to tell anybody who he was. They knew who he was. We need people to know who he is. Even the demons know who he is and tremble. And they listen to his authority, to his word. He speaks, and even the wind and the waves obey his voice. We've never seen a man speak like this. The authority that he commands, it's amazing. And they became jealous because people wanted to be with him all the time. Wherever he went, people followed him. They didn't get that. Those religious leaders were just plain jealous. They didn't have that kind of gathering. You know, they thought they were better than anybody else. I can just picture Jesus when he was in the marketplace. He just communed with them. Hey, what's this? What do you got here? Can I see it? Well, isn't that something? Well, that's really neat. Pharisees just, you know, they didn't even know they existed. Pharisees, this is, I'm better than you are. But Jesus didn't do that. He didn't walk that way in a marketplace. If there was kids playing, I'm sure he'd sit down and play with them. That's why he was so different. He loved everybody. Why wouldn't he? He made his creation. Why wouldn't he love his creation? He made us. That's why when you see things the way he sees it, there's no Muslims and Buddhists and Hindus. You see, with God, it's all creation. It's his creation. And when you begin to look at it the way he does it, you need to be praying for his creation. There's a lot of them that went the wrong direction, and they need to be saved. We need to pray for them. Tradition versus truth. There's so much I could really say about it. I'm going to go to Isaiah chapter 6. One of the things that continues to thrill my life is to see the way the Lord working in my life, not only my life, but in all your lives. It thrills me to see when you come to church and I begin to see your life change. I've seen that. I've noticed that. And so have a lot of other people noticed it. You start coming to church and I see your life change right before my eyes. It's just a beautiful transformation. You're sweeter. You're more loving. You're more forgiving. It's precious. And if it's precious to me, how precious do you think it is to Him who made us and wants us to love one another as I've loved you? And to see you grow in the Lord, it just is, just thrills my soul. Just love to see you growing in the Lord. Isaiah chapter 6 said, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Isaiah 6:1. You know, when I was growing up, I had visions in my mind that Jesus was some far off distant place, in a place called heaven. And if I wanted to talk to him, I needed to address him in the language of the King James, thee and thou. And thankfully now, I know I can talk to him as Abba Father. Isaiah goes on to tell us, thus says the one who's high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. That's Isaiah 57, chapter 57 and verse 15. Our Father is holy, and he is majestic, and he is glorious. But yet he has abased himself to dwell within our humble and sin-stained heart. He's chosen to live within my heart. Who? The creator of the entire universe has chosen to live inside. Right here. How precious. I want to give you an illustration. I think every small child knows the difference between religion and loving Jesus. And I'll give you this story. One day, the pastor, of course, busy with his schedule, sat down to read the evening newspaper. His little daughter, who was very young, popped up between the pages of the newspaper as he was reading. He was tired and he shooed her away. Just want a few minutes to relax before working on the message, on the sermon that I need to get for next Sunday. But she kept popping up saying, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. And the pastor kept saying, later, honey, just, can't you just wait a minute? Just give me a few minutes. But she said, Daddy, I want to tell you something. And she kept poking her fingers on the newspaper and trying to get his attention. And finally, he laid the newspaper down and said, Honey, what do you want to tell me? She answered, Daddy, I just want to tell you that I love you. Whew. Woo. How would you feel? When you were trying to get rid of her, you just wanted to have a few minutes for yourself. Daddy, I just wanted to tell you I love you. Whew. You know, that's Christianity. That's not religion. That's real Christianity. She notices the difference, the big difference. I'll never forget the rotten day I had at work one day. And I came home and I was just so discouraged. You never get those days, you just wanted to give up. Nothing went right. And my little girl, who was just learning to talk, put her arms around my legs and looked up at me and said, Dad, Dad, I love you. At that moment, it didn't matter what kind of a terrible day I was having. Didn't matter. loving Jesus. You know, the Bible tells us that we can talk to our Heavenly Father the same way. You know what the scripture says Daddy is? Does anybody remember the word the Bible uses? It starts with an A. That's right, I heard it. Abba. Do you know what Abba means? Daddy. Father. Abba. Abba. David in the Old Testament called on God. He wrote, "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. And if I were to count them, they are more than the sand." Well, you can't count the number of precious thoughts that God has about you. And then next time you pick up a handful of sand, I want you to ponder how many grains there are in that sand and how many wonderful thoughts God has of you. Quite the contrast with religion. Some religious people think the more miserable you are and the more you suffer, the more you're honoring the Lord. Our life is no good. We keep trying only to keep failing. And so we feel, what's the use of going on? But Jesus speaks truth to us, and he tells us that we have abundant life. A religious heart moves away. But you see, Jesus and his love always draws us nearer and closer to him. And to think about that story, the little girl, "I love you, Daddy." What a difference it made in that pastor's life that day. What a difference it spoke to him. I'm closing with this. One of the tendencies of religious people is to focus on darkness rather than on the light. And I hear so many today spouting these bitter words, "The culture's to blame. The government is the fault. That special interest group is such a negative influence." But if we walk as Jesus did, we won't have to curse the darkness. And we'll be focusing on the light. So, Dale, could you get me the house lights and just turn them right off? Turn them all off. Say, "Brother Roger, I'm just one person. What can I do? I'm just one person. What can I do?" You can let your light shine, what you can do. You have no problem seeing that, do you? And you can see it wherever I go. Wherever I go, you can see it. Everyone in here can see that light. No matter how dark it is in here, you can see that little light. That's me. That's you and I in this dark world. Are you going to let your light shine? It's just a little light, but it can mean so much to somebody's life. Let your light shine. House lights. Nicodemus was a religious man. He knew a lot of things about the Bible, but one thing he didn't understand was how to be born again. Jesus said to him, "You got to be born again, Nicodemus." Nicodemus said, How can I be born again? How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" You see, Nicodemus was trying to grasp the Lord's ways through his fleshly mind. But Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." You see, that which is born of flesh is flesh. And that's why Nicodemus couldn't understand the concept. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Much like baptism, the old life is buried and put under the water as a symbol that the old man is dying. He is dead now to sin. And as you're coming up out of the water and you surface, now you have a new life. A new life. And we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. We no longer have to follow the flesh. The Bible tells us that we're victorious. We're more than conquerors. But the devil will have you to think that we're cowering somewhere over in a little corner someplace. He'd like you to think that. But I can tell you that my God's alive. And we are victors. We are victorious. And we will be conquerors. More than conquerors, he says. More than conquerors. Makes no difference what's going on in this world. And it does look bleak. And we are living in perilous times. As we're seated in the comforts of these four walls, there's a fire going on in California. People are losing everything they've worked for and earned and built. They're losing it all. But when you have Jesus, you have it all. It's all you need. And when the time comes and you draw your last breath, you'll be leaving everything behind. Absolutely everything behind.